I'm Vernie Howard. I'm the executive director of the Providence House, and this is almost my sixth year of working with homeless families with children. It is indeed my honor, my responsibility, my calling to do the work to serve homeless men, homeless women, homeless families with children. And when we talk about a mile in another woman's shoes, we are so grateful to be a part of this partnership and just express to so many of you what it means for a woman who's been disenfranchised, a woman who's been just down on her luck, a woman who's been waiting at the well just to have a new pair of shoes. It is more than just the shoes, but it is the fact that someone thought of her. It's the fact that someone honors a mother. It's the fact of just someone saying, I see you, I see your journey, and I understand the work. So being a part of this in partnership with the Simple Church, it's so much bigger than a shoe campaign. It's so much bigger than Mother's Day. It changes the lives of women who are trying on this journey that gets hard, quite honestly, for all of us. It's a tribute. It's a way for us to say, for every woman to say, we see you along this journey. We are with you along this journey, and we give you a new pair of shoes to help you along your way. So thank you so much from the depths of our heart on behalf of the board of directors and all of our staff and family of the Providence House. We say thank you.
Thank you, Simple Church, for seeing women and for showing love to them in a tangible way by donating a pair of shoes. I love how our church loves God, loves people, and every chance you get, you're helping solve problems. So give yourselves a hand. Thank you so much for always doing all these crazy things that we ask you to do. All right, Angie, I noticed your chart, and I have heels on too. I'm not single, I am married, but I do like to wear a heel too. Okay, so I actually really do love shoes. So that's kind of my love language. I love to buy a pair of shoes. Any extra money, like I got some money from Mother's Day a while ago, that is about to buy a new pair of shoes. Okay, I love shoes. I'm gonna tell you a story about the first time I came on staff at Simple Church. I am a children's pastor, so I'm typically downstairs with, I'm typically upstairs with your kids. I'm not down here with you. But the first Sunday that I came to work here, I've been doing children's ministry a long time, since I was probably 18. But then I came when we were still at the boardwalk. And if anybody's ever been a part of setup and tear down of the Simple Church from all the years from the beginning to now, you know that we say we're the Simple Church, but we're anything but simple when it comes to setting up and tearing down. It requires a lot of work, a lot of energy, and a lot of steps. Okay, so the first time I came, I was used to working at a more traditional church where I had to wear a suit on Sunday mornings and heels and even pantyhose. Yes, I used to have to do that to church to work with the kids. But this Sunday, I'm like, okay, I know the Simple Church is different, so I can dress a little different. So I'll wear something like I have on today, jeans, a nicer shirt. But I still wanted to wear my heels because I'm like, you know, I'm just going to kind of go in between. I'm not going to do my t-shirt and jeans like I currently wear on Sunday mornings so when I'm with the kids. But I'm going to do a little different. So I wore these red heels, and they're so etched in my mind. I will never forget them, because the first Sunday, I didn't really know what setup was like at the Simple Church. I'd heard about it but never been a part of it. And so we start with all these black cases that you can kind of see around and in the back that are on wheels, and they're loaded full of things, but they're in trailers that are outside. So you start, even today, we start by unloading the trailers, dragging them. They're super heavy. If you've ever pulled one, you've run over your foot with one. And then you take them to their destination, you open them up, you unpack everything, and then in like an hour or 2 hours later, you pack it back up, you pull the cases all the way back down to the truck, and you load out. Okay, so I wore these heels. Bad mistake. By the time I got home, my feet were so swollen and hurting so bad that I could not take those shoes off fast enough. Anybody ever felt that? Women, when you wear your shoes, your heels for a long time, you cannot wait to take them off. So today, for the Mother's Day message, there's really obviously not many messages about high heels and women wearing their shoes all day, but I want you to see a story in the Bible where it's so important for us to take our shoes off. And it's something I think that all of us can relate to. So we're going to get started. We're going to start right here in Luke chapter 7, verse 36, and it says this. One of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house, and he took his place at the table. All right, I want you to picture what this looks like. So I'm going to kind of set it up for you. Here's a picture of a Pharisee and what he might look like. Proud, this great big costume. I mean, he was feeling proud and tall. He might have had some heels on too to be like, yeah, look, here's who I am. But what a Pharisee means, the word means separated. So it means they separated themselves from the others. They were strict followers of the law, of the man-made law. They liked right and wrong. And so here's what's happening right before this verse is there's this new guy in town, Jesus, and he's walking around and he's performing miracles, making blind people see, healing people from the dead, teaching. Large crowds of people are following him. They're just standing around to hear what he has to say. So these Pharisees are just a little bit skeptical. Who is this man? I mean, like, I've been hearing he's the Son of God and all this stuff. But who is this? So they invite Jesus to come over for a party. And a Pharisee throwing a party is a little bit different than you or I throwing a party. If we're throwing a party, we're going to have our shorts and t-shirts on and maybe sit by the pool and grill burgers, vegan burgers for myself and the rest of y'all, the other burgers, if you know that about me. And so you're just sitting casually with your friends, maybe with the game on or something on TV. But a party with the Pharisees was so different. It's like a group of elite men, you saw this, who are very proud of themselves and their knowledge and how much they know about everything. They're going to talk politics and religion, and they just want everyone to know what they know. I mean, some of you might know some people like that, that just like to hear themselves talk. Well, imagine a room full of those people that just wanted to hear themselves talk. Okay, so picture this. They're at the house. The Pharisees are there. They're talking loudly. They're letting people know who they are. I mean, they're putting on a great show for Jesus, okay? This meal typically would take place, this party, in the outer room of a house or kind of like a courtyard, so that the people on the streets could see and hear. But that's how proud they were, okay? They wanted everyone to see who was in there, who was listening. They talked so loud so people could even hear. And so you're like, well, why would anybody care about what they're saying? Why would they walk up to the house and just listen? I'll tell you why. The same reason you and I get on Facebook and scroll through there to see what everybody's saying, to see what everybody's doing. The same reason we go on star tours when we're on vacation in California to look for the all the famous people's houses. We just want to see. They did the same thing. They just wanted to see what was going on. This is like the happening event in the town, okay? Well, here's what happens. They're putting on this party, a big show for Jesus, and then someone else walks in the room who is not invited. We're going to look at verse 37. There was a woman in town who had lived a sinful life, she learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with a special jar of perfume. Okay, you've pictured what it looks like. Now put yourself in this woman's shoes. She walks in this party, uninvited. I don't know about you, but I've never gone to a party uninvited. I definitely wouldn't want to walk into a party like that uninvited. She walks in. They're boastfully talking loudly about everything that they think is right and wrong. And she walks in. And they described her in this verse. You want to go back to that verse for me? It says, a woman in town who had lived a sinful life. They knew who she was. They didn't call her by name, but they knew. Probably meant she was a prostitute. She was a woman that was definitely not like them. She was unworthy, not invited. In their eyes and in their minds, unclean. She definitely didn't need to be in the same room as them, let alone Jesus. Have you ever felt uninvited? Unwanted? I know you have, because I've felt the same way. This woman walks in the room. She knows who she is. It's obviously no secret to her. She knows they know who she is. In fact, I think if she were here today, she would be one of those girls that our kids or we're talking about in group chats. Oh my gosh, did you see her? Do you know where she is today? Can you believe what she's doing? Exactly what the Pharisees were saying. But when I picture her, I think the way Jesus saw her as a girl. You know, they looked at her and labeled her from the second she walked in. But when Jesus saw her come in, he saw her just like any other girl in this room. Any other teenager, any other adult. And I think that this girl at that moment was like, what is going on? This is not who I dreamed I would be. This is not what I thought my life was gonna look like. I picture a girl kind of like this. This is my daughter, Taylor, who's graduating next weekend. I can hardly believe it. But I think of her in this moment because every child at this age has big dreams. Right now we're talking about goals and moving to college and checklists and all the classes we need to take to be prepared for what she wants to do. And I pictured this girl. Maybe on her graduation day. When everyone's saying right after graduation, if you've been to one or you will be at one probably in the next week or so, or you'll see a lot of it on Facebook, I can see and hear everyone's question. What are you going to do now that school's over? What do you want to be? I can promise you this. Not any girl I've ever known would say, I want to be a prostitute. That's who I want to be. Then I picture the same thing happening to women in here. No one at this point in your life said, I want to be divorced. I want to live in an abusive home. I want to be without anything. I want to be homeless. No. No one grows up with that image in their mind. Have you ever felt unloved? Of course you have. Ashamed. Not good enough. This is what she felt. Walking in this room, a room full of people that were judging her from the second she walked in. And I have to believe that in that moment, she says, "How did I end up here? It's not what I thought was going to happen." Maybe today you can relate. Because maybe where you are, it's not where you intended to be. And just one thing after another just led to where you are. Look at what happens next. She stood behind Jesus, and she cried at his feet. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair. She kissed them and poured perfume on them. All right, now picture her. She's walked in the room. Everybody's saying what they're gonna say. She knows who she is. She knows they know. She doesn't say anything. She doesn't talk back. She doesn't plead her case. She walks straight in there and she falls at his feet. She's crying so hard that the tears from her face are soaking Jesus' feet enough that I bet she's like any woman, "Oh my gosh, I gotta fix this. What, you know, this is what we do. We fix things that aren't going how they're supposed to go. What am I gonna do?" She pulls her hair down because women at that time definitely weren't supposed to put their hair down unless they were with their husband, and that caused them to freak out even more, right? The Pharisees are really going crazy now. But she takes her hair and she wipes his feet because they're wet. And the Pharisees can hardly believe this. Like, why is Jesus letting her do this? First of all, she doesn't even belong in here. And I can see them going, she would definitely not be this close to me. But here's what's the difference between them and Jesus. Is they saw the sin. That's all they saw. And Jesus saw the girl, the person. She didn't care what anyone else was talking about. She didn't care what they were saying. She was overcome with emotion that she just fell at his feet. And I kind of think about the men don't listen to this part, but women, we're emotional, right? We can be. I'm like way emotional right now, but with the graduating and all the things and the year we've had, like it doesn't take much to make me cry. But I want you to think about what made her feel that much emotion in that moment. And if you are a mom, I know you know what this feels like. When your kids are upset, somebody hurts them, doesn't invite them, makes them feel unloved, not included. That hurts a mom's heart like nothing else. I mean, we can just feel it in every ounce of our body. When our kids are struggling and we can't fix it, that's what we do, we fix things. We can't fix everything. Believe me, I've tried. With raising teenagers, you know, you try. We can't. This feeling that she's feeling, this is where I think about. Several years ago, I had a teenager that's going through a lot of things, and man, we've talked about it, we've prayed about it, we've talked to counselors about it. I mean, we are just trying to figure it out. I can't do anything in my power. I'll never forget, just this one day, I just felt like, man, the weight is so heavy, I can't do it. we lived on a golf course at this time, and everybody was finished playing golf, and I walked out in the backyard, and I just laid down flat on my face on the golf path, and I just cried out to him, I can't do this by myself. I know you've been there. It may be different, and maybe you've cried and prayed to God to have a child, and you can't. Maybe you've lost a child. I've walked through this with mothers in this room who have had kids that are sick, maybe even lost them, have kids that have diagnosis of cancer, and your whole body aches. Maybe you've had a rough year. We've all had a rough year, right? We've lost people that we love, and you just ache. It's like nothing else. You cannot do anything else but hurt. This is what she felt like. And she finally laid it at his feet. Here's the next verse. 39 says this. The Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this. He said to himself. He doesn't say this to Jesus. He said it to himself. We kind of do that sometimes. He said it to himself. If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him. He would know what kind of woman she is. She is a sinner. From the second she walked in, she was labeled. Have you ever felt labeled? As a woman, we do it to ourselves a lot. I'm not good enough. I don't look like that. I don't sound like that. We put all these people ahead of us and think everyone else is better, and we'll label ourselves real quick. They labeled her a sinner. What I love about this, though, is Simon says that he said this to himself. And Jesus, being Jesus, knew that he said it to himself. He didn't say it out loud. But when Jesus heard what he said in his mind, which he can do that, in case you didn't know that. Here's what he said back to him. Jesus answered him and he said, Simon, I have something to tell you. And so Simon's a little cocky, like, oh, wait a minute. I really didn't know you heard that, but okay, what do you have to teach me, teacher? Still kind of mocking him a little bit. And then he says this. This is so great. He turns toward the woman. We're going to go to the next verse. He turns toward the woman, but he turns to her, but he talks to Simon. He says, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water to wash my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman has not kissing my feet since I came in. You did not put any oil on my head, but she has poured this perfume on my feet. Jesus looks at Simon and he says, you invited me to your house, and I came. And typically, when someone was invited to their house, especially an elite, and especially Jesus, there would be a bowl at the door of water to wash their feet because they didn't take an Uber to go to the party, okay? He walked in the dirt, his feet are dirty, a common courtesy, a greeting, a welcome at that point would have been to wash his feet. He's telling Simon, without telling Simon, you kind of need to worry about your own self. But he said it in a nice Jesus way. You didn't even wash my feet. Another greeting was typical of them to greet them and kiss them on the forehead when they walked in. Kind of like when somebody comes to our house, we give them a big old hug. So Jesus is saying, you didn't even kiss me on my head. And she is kissing my feet. this woman that you're talking about, that you've labeled a sinner, is showing great love and service to me. Here's what he says next. So I tell you this, her many sins have been forgiven. She has shown that she understands this by her great acts of love. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. I love how he says that to her right in front of them. You can judge her all you want. You can label her all you want. She trusts in me. She's serving me. She loves me. Her sins are what? Forgiven. This woman that was uninvited fell at his feet. She brought with her the most valuable possession she had. A bottle of perfume that we know was probably around like a year and a half's worth of wages. She brought everything she had. She didn't have gold and silver and jewels and all the things like the Pharisees said you probably needed to have before you could be in the room with Jesus. She brought all she had. Why? Why would this woman do this? I try to put myself in her shoes and go, there is no way you could make me walk in that room. I mean, I have a hard enough time walking in a room full of people at a party where I don't know anyone. How would she walk in here? And why? Here's what I believe. Why? Because we do know that Jesus was teaching that morning, the day before, the day before. He's in the town. People are listening. People are hearing him. People see something different than what the Pharisees say you have to be religious. They see Jesus talking to people, not just their elite group. They see Jesus doing miracles and healing the sick and going to the tax collectors' houses. Jesus is talking to people. And I really think that she saw who he was, and then she heard him speak. When all the crowds of people are gathered around and they couldn't hear enough of what Jesus was saying because it was so different than what they'd always heard. The Jesus that we know is so different than that religion that you've always heard. I think in that moment, she realized who he was. And she probably heard him say something like this. We do know Jesus spoke this a little bit before this. In Matthew 11:28, when he was out teaching, and he says, come to me, all who are tired, who are carrying heavy loads, and I will give you, what's the word? Rest. I think when she heard that, she said, wow, it's not who I wanted to be. This was not my dream for my life, for my kids' life, for my family. I'm weary. I'm tired. Maybe that's where you are today. This is not what I wanted. God, how did I end up here? And in that moment, she said, I just need to see Jesus. I need to see him. Here's a picture of my youngest child, which I wish she was still that little, but now she's in eighth grade. I did ask permission to show this picture, but she loved putting my shoes on, just like Angie was talking about at the beginning. Soon as she could walk, she would get a pair of my heels. I have better taste in shoes now, but she did wear my heels everywhere she went. She would typically be holding a purse, too. And I tried to find a picture of her in a cute little dress or something doing that, but every picture I have looks like this. I don't remember it being like that, but she was comfortable. All that's changed now, too, by the way. But she loved to wear those. Our kids, your grandkids, the kids in the neighborhood, they just want to be like you. Moms, whether you know it or not, even when they're older and they roll their eyes at you 5,000 times and they don't listen, at least you think they don't, they're watching you. And if we could just teach our kids when they're little that when their little minds are full of stress and anxiety, which they are, anxiety is like an all-time skyrocketed right now with our kids. The stress is unreal on them. The pain that they're going through, working with them upstairs every week, is unbelievable. If we could teach them while they're kids, they don't have to carry that weight. And they could learn by watching us when we're carrying the load that's so heavy. And we can finally just give it to Jesus. Man, if they could learn to do that young, maybe one day when they're like us, they wouldn't go, "How did I get here? It's not what I wanted. It's not where I intended to be. I'm tired." Are you tired? What a year we've had. I'm tired. I've never felt this tired. And we're tired because typically we're just trying to do everything perfect. I'm talking to myself. And we're trying to do it without him. If we could just give it to him. The pain of this year, the jobs that we've lost, the family that we've lost, the things that our kids have lost because the year's been so crazy, it all hurts. It's all pain. We all feel it so deep. If we could come to the place where we could just give it to him. If that's how you feel today, and you're like, "What do I do?" I think you come just like she did. She just came as she was. You just come as you are. When she walked in that room, I don't think she went home and put on her Sunday best and put her pantyhose on and her good shoes. I think she knew that Jesus is who he says he was, and he only cared about her, not what those Pharisees said. I think she just came. We can do the same. You don't have to have it figured out today. She didn't. We just come. That's how he wants us. Broken, a total mess, as we stay here, all jacked up. Whatever it is, we just come. And then when we come, we just fall at his feet. You just let it go. All the pain I'm holding inside for whatever's happened to you, something different than you thought it would be. You just give it to him. And then when you do, just like she did, you just believe. You just believe that Jesus cares more about you and the situation that you're in than he does about what everyone else is saying about you. And then you just know that you're forgiven. She came in that room. She said nothing. She didn't have to say a word. And Jesus said to her, "You're forgiven." She didn't have to say, "Oh, I did this and I did this and oh my gosh, and I did this and then no, no, no." She just walked in. She trusted, and he said, "You're forgiven." Isn't that great news? I love that we have Jesus that does that for us. I've asked the band to come and play a song that if you grew up in any Baptist church in the area, this was in your hymnal. I think it was number 307. I'm not exactly sure. I meant to check that, but I think that's what it was. If you didn't grow up in a Baptist church, then you possibly have heard Carrie Underwood's new album, A Savior, and she sings Just As I Am. And as they're coming, I just want you to pause. Just pause in the moment. Sit down. And rest. You know that rest, like that dream that we get, that we want for Mother's Day, like especially when your kids are little, you just want to take a nap and rest by yourself or in a room without anybody else after lunch and all the things. I get all that, but we just want to be by ourselves in this moment. I'm going to ask you just to rest. Just take your shoes off, like those red shoes that I took off and couldn't wait to get off. The heavy weight that you're holding onto, the stuff that you can't fix, the pain that's in your heart that won't go away. In this moment, just sit. Because what I love about Jesus is he says we are all invited. You're loved just as you are. He wants us to come and just sit at his feet. Let's pray together. Dear God, I just love you. I'm so thankful for a church that points people to you, that Jesus that loves people more than their label. The Jesus that looks at us and sees us for us and says, "I've got you right where you are." I pray that in this moment, God, we could just give you all of that weight that we're carrying and just lay it at your feet. In your name we pray.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many conflict, many a doubt, fighting in fears within, without, O Lamb of God. Just as I am, thou will receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise